Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the seat basket in front of you. Those of you that are tuning in online, welcome. Hope you had a great week. Glad you are tuning in. As you guys are turning to Joshua chapter 1, as we spend the next several months going through this book verse by verse, there's three major themes that we're going to talk a lot about. We're going to even see them this morning in our text as we open up with chapter 1. The three themes are covenant, courage, and commitment. Let's say that together, church. Covenant, courage, commitment. We're going to see this idea of covenant, that God is a covenantal God, that he made a covenant with Israel, that they were going to be his people, that he was going to bless them, and that he had a specific land, the promised land, that he was going to bring them to. So this book, it's not about us, it's about God. We serve a faithful God who keeps all his promises. Not only covenant, but we're going to look a lot at courage. God desires for us, those who have been born again, to walk in courage, but not, friends, in our own strength and courage, but that we would walk according to his courage. Just the fact, the truth that God is with us would lead us to live strengthened and courageous lives. And then the last theme we're going to see these next several months is commitment, that God desires for us. He desired for Israel to be committed to the word, and he desires us to be committed to the word, to meditate on it day and night, to preach it and proclaim it and to live it out. All right, so you guys should be at Joshua 1, and because it's our first week, I want to just set the historical setting so we can understand what's going on. In Genesis 12, God shows up to Abraham and says to Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And he promised Abraham that he was going to bless him. And through Abraham's lineage, not only that he's going to bring Israel to the promised land, but through Abraham as his bloodline, a savior of the world is going to come. And he did. His name is Jesus Christ. We see that in Genesis 12, God said to Abram, to your offspring, I'm going to give this land. Later in 15, he reiterates, to your offspring, Abram, I'm going to give this land. And then we see Israel's life kind of play out in Scripture. We see as history unfolds, the Pharaoh, Egypt, they end up enslaving Israel for 400 years. God's people are enslaved in Egypt to Pharaoh. But they're crying out to the Lord. And what does he do? He raises up Moses, their deliverer. And he says to Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to preach, and you're going to speak. And through you and through my power working in you and through you, we're going to let the Israelites go. So Moses and Aaron show up, and through signs and wonders, God allows Israelites to be set free from the Egyptian bondage. And then you see, you picture Moses leading the people. He's saying to them, God delivered you, and he's bringing us to a land. Follow me. God will provide. And Scripture says that by day, God showed himself through cloud and showed them where to go, and by night, by fire. So God is leading. He's taking care of them. He's providing manna from heaven. He's sustaining them, providing them. Church, think of this season for the Israelites. I mean, think of all the manifestations of God's provision and protection and power that they witnessed with their own eyes. And then they get to the edges of the promised land. They're almost there. And Moses sends 12 spies to go spy out the land to see how large and how strong were the nations that currently occupied it. And Scripture tells us that the men returned. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, they're excited. They don't care how big the giants are, how strong the walls are. They're ready. But the other 10 spies, they come back and they're scared and terrified. And what was their report? There's no way that we can defeat them. If we go into the land, the Canaanites are going to destroy us. After everything they've seen, they take their eyes off of the Lord. And they start operating not in strength and courage, but fear and a lack of faith. And in Numbers 14, the people became alarmed and grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. After everything they witnessed, they said, why did you bring us out here to die in the promised land? We would have been better off staying in Egypt. What an offense to the Lord after all he's done and their deliverance. And God's reaction is swift and decisive. In Numbers 14, God says, who has seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice? None of them shall see the land I swore to give their fathers, and none of those who despised me shall see it. Devastating news. Instead of granting them entrance into the land, God forced his people to wander an additional 38 and a half years in the wilderness. During this time, every person over the age of 20 would die, would not inherit the promised land. The only two exceptions were Joshua and Caleb, the two that had a faithful report, who saw God bigger than any obstacle in the land. And after the time in the wilderness, Moses had died. The year is 1406, and God began to set apart Joshua to take Israel into the land he promised from the very beginning in his covenant with Abram. So let's look, Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them. To the people of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May God add his blessing to his word. As we look at this narrative, we're going to go through verse by verse and then focus on a couple application points at the very end. So look at the very beginning. It starts off after the death of Moses. It transitions from Deuteronomy 34 into the book of Joshua. Moses had died. We know Moses was the chief character of the books of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He's the servant of the Lord. He is the deliverer, the mediator between God and his people. He is a type of Christ. God sent Moses to speak to the Israelites on behalf of God. And now he is gone. And Joshua has been designated as Moses' successor. We see God preparing the way in Numbers 27 and Deuteronomy 3 and Deuteronomy 22 that God is setting apart Joshua now to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Because of their disobedience, they had to wander. Because of Moses' anger, he could see it, and now he has set apart Joshua to lead them into the land that he has promised them. If you look at Joshua's name, friends, it means Yahweh saves, salvation, deliverance. This is the Joshua who is the hero to the Israelites when he battled the Amalekites. Remember, Moses has his rod up in the air, and Joshua, even though everyone else is scared, he goes into battle. And what happens, church? God blesses him, and he leads Israel into victory. This is the same Joshua who's one of the spies, who came back and said, it doesn't matter who's there. Let's go. Our God is bigger. Amen? And our text says right there that the Lord said to Joshua. So now there was direct communication between Joshua and the Lord. The Lord is speaking to Joshua. And we don't know the specifics, but look at what the text says. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over to this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I'm giving them, people of Israel. God shows up to Joshua. They're on the bank of the Jordan. The Jordan is huge. We read later on that it's at flood levels. And God, he shows up and says, Joshua, you're going to take the people across the Jordan into the land. I mean, think of the amount of people that meant to cross over the Jordan. Some scholars argue 3 million people, including all their belongings and livestock. There were no ferries, no bridges, no boats. God doesn't even give Joshua a hint how he's going to do it. He just said, go, guess what? Take them over. You're going to cross the Jordan. Isn't that how God works in our lives many times? We have a Jordan River. We have no idea how we're going to get across it. But God says, guess what? You're going there. I need you to step out in faith and trust me. I will provide the details. I will speak to you. I will lead you. Just go and operate by faith. That's how our God works. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And notice the text. God says, I'm about to give you the land. I'm about to fulfill my ancient promise. Church, God is faithful to all his promises. We don't have to sit here and worship Sunday morning with the doubts and questioning if God is faithful. All throughout Scripture, he has been faithful to every word he has spoken. And he said to Joshua, I'm about to give you the land that I promised. Who's in control, church? God is. He is sovereign. We serve a God and a kingdom for him who is in control of all things. And he says to Joshua, the time is now. Here we go. And in verse 4, he gives the boundaries of the land. And look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. What an encouraging word from the Lord. How many of you would like to hear that this morning? God is saying, whatever you're up against, guess what? Don't fear. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because I am with you. And he says to Joshua, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. Think of when God showed up to Joshua and said, cross the Jordan. What's Joshua thinking? On the other side, first there's a Jordan. How are we going to cross that? On the other side, there's giants, there's fortified cities, and God is, we're supposed to take those. And God promises him, when you go, no man will stand before you. God is promising Joshua success. God is promising Joshua that he will be with him. What if Joshua would have responded? Well, that's kind of scary. All right, and if I do that, I'll have to rely on you, Lord. So on this side of the Jordan, we can see the promised land. That's good enough. Let us stay here in our comfort and security. And absolutely not. God is desiring to take them where they need to go. Guess what, church? God desires to take you where he wants you to go. It requires faith. It requires trust. It requires obedience. May we respond because he is faithful. He is trustworthy. And he goes before you. Talk about divine assistance. He says, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Like I was with Isaac, like I was with Jacob, like I was with Moses. And he showed up earlier to Joshua and told him a similar thing in Deuteronomy 3. Listen to this, church. In verses 21 and 22, he says, and I commanded you, Joshua, at that time, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms in which you are crossing. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. What does God say? Joshua, think about the victories I've already given you. Think about the kings that we defeated. And remember that, because you are going to go and lead God's people into the promised land. Remember my past faithfulness and that I will be faithful in the future. You think of Joshua. He was still a man, probably was nervous and afraid, and yet when he remembered the times he went to battle and God did not leave him there, how it increased his faith and trust. And God says, be strong and courageous. I love this. This word means strength. Be strong. It's like this idea of being twisted together. A rope is strong. Why, church? Because the many strands twist together. And God is saying, listen, be strong. Why? Because I am with you. I twist together with you. You are not by yourself. Go in strength and courage. It's what Paul meant when he was speaking and writing to the church in Ephesians. And he says, be strong in the Lord. Why? Because we are together with him. We live in his strength. Be courageous, that of good cheer. It's the opposite of being afraid. Relying on God's character and help. So God is saying, be strong and courageous. Why? Ben, because I'm with you. And be courageous. Why? Because of my character and who I am. Church, may our courage be rooted in not looking each other in the mirror and trying to muscle it up to live courageously for the Lord, but may our courage be rooted and empowered by his Holy Spirit and God's character that he is with us to the ends of the age. And may that courage be a testimony from our lives that we don't come here fearful and timid and defeated, but that we allow the Spirit of God to understand that God is with us and he goes before us. It's the same phrase that when David was speaking to Solomon to build the temple, he says to his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. Even when David was talking to Solomon, he's saying, be strong. Why? Because God is with you. He is for you. And then look at verses 7 and 8. He says, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. He just said, be strong and courageous, trust in God's presence, and remember the word. Meditate on the Torah, the Pentateuch, the words and writings of Moses. Remember the law given from God. And he gives sort of six things for Joshua to think about. He starts out by saying, be careful. Be careful. Take this seriously. It's a danger if you forget the law of the Lord. Be attentive to it. It calls for prudence. And he's saying to them, to Joshua, be careful and to do what? Do according to all the points of the counsel of God's word. Be careful not just to know the word, but to do everything in it, he says. To trust in it. Church, may that be our heart. May we take this seriously. May we love this, and may our desire is not just to learn it, to understand it, but that we would do it so we can be the aroma of Christ, that people can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he's saying that to Joshua. How amazing is this? Even at the Pentateuch, the beginning of the law, he's saying, remember and know it and fight for it. Do not forget it. And he says, do not turn from it to the left or to the right. As people complain, know it and don't sacrifice the word of God. And then he says, don't let it depart from your mouth. What is God saying to Joshua? To speak it. May we be a church that speaks scripture. May we be a church that knows the word. May we be a church that doesn't let the word of God depart from our mind and our mouth, but we're constantly saying it and thinking about it. And that was God's call to Joshua. Meditate on it day and night, constantly. In order to lead God's people, Joshua, you need to know the word, think about the word, love the word, live the word. And because of that leadership, Israel will go into the promised land and they will shine like a star amongst all the pagan nations. And then again, he repeats himself. He says, make sure you do everything in it. Again, he says, conduct your life. Church, what's amazing about this is God knows what's ahead. When they cross the Jordan and they go into the promised land, there is battle after battle after battle after battle. And notice God's words to Joshua. He's not giving them worldly wisdom to win a battle. He's not saying, hey, Joshua, make sure you have this type of shield. Make sure you have this type of sword. Make sure you line up the troops this way. What does he say? They're about to go battle after battle. And he says, remember who I am and remember my word and meditate on my word. And in that, you will be successful wherever you go. What a word for us this morning, church. And then we have the New Testament where Jesus said, we are empowered to fight a spiritual battle. And how do we fight that battle? Through prayer and through the word. This is our sword. May we know it. And we have an incredible promise. He says, if you do this, you will be successful. I will bless you. You will inherit the land flowing with milk and honey. What an incredible narrative. As we look at it, two application points this morning. First, courage rests upon the assurance of God's presence. Church, strength and courage rests on the assurance of God's presence. And secondly, this morning, courage is anchored in the word. Let's see how courage rests upon the assurance of God's presence. God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. I am with you. There's nothing to fear. And in the same way this morning, God never calls you and I to something that he doesn't go before us and he doesn't stand with us. Just like God promised Joshua that he was going to be with him, we know God promises you and I that his constant presence is with us, his power, his faithfulness. God is with you. Whatever you're going through this morning, whatever giant is in your life, without a doubt, you know through Scripture, just like Joshua, God is with you. And in his sovereignty, he's allowed it, and he will see you through. He will walk with you, and he's saying, church, be strong and courageous. Keep your eyes fixed on me. What an incredible promise to know that. Whatever you're going through, there's peace that God is with you. There's peace, especially if we're obeying the word, living for him, that we bring him glory. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Those two words, fear and don't worry, I am with you. Not only is God with us, but we know through new birth in Jesus Christ, God's inside of us. Amen, church. The Bible teaches before Jesus went to the cross, in John 14, John 15, John 16, what is he saying? Not only will I'll be with you, but he's saying, I'm going to send a helper. My spirit, the Holy Spirit, not only am I going to be with you, but I'm going to send my spirit to live and dwell inside of you and empower you to live on mission with strength and courage. How awesome is that? And whatever comes our way, not only is God with us, he's in us. And may he allow us to see his goodness and his power and not the obstacles in our lives. Have you come to that point, church, this morning? Have you come to that point where you realize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? That he came, he lived, he died, he rose again. And after the third day, he revealed himself to over 500 people. And he said, look at what I've done for you. And if you come to that point where you realize you're not God, there is a God that every knee will bow. And you surrender and say, Lord, I need you, live inside of me. What happens is you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And he places his Holy Spirit inside of you. That is what we celebrate, his faithfulness. And then he says to us, go and live for me. Think about the Great Commission. We read it all the time. After Jesus rose from the dead, he shows up to the disciples and he gives them a commission, a purpose with their lives. In Matthew 28, he says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age. We always skip over that last sentence. We get excited about the going. Let's go bring the gospel to the nations. But what does Jesus say? Go, and guess what, Gary? I am with you till the end of the age. Now, when we hear the Great Commission as a church, we're like, man, we just got to do this. But think about the disciples. They just witnessed Jesus Christ get killed. They just witnessed him die on a cross. And now Jesus shows up and says, go. You talk about courage and strength. And he says, go because I am with you, Warren, and I am inside of you. And may my spirit empower you to live courageously and strengthen for me. Is that the source of our strength? Are our lives defined with this attitude of strength and courage? We have nothing to fear, church. Life is hard. I get that. Here's the good news. We have each other. Amen. And we have nothing to fear. Greater He is in us than he that's in the world. They hated him. They killed him. And guess what? He still lives. And the world can take your life. The world can kill you. But guess what? You will still live. Therefore, what shall we be afraid of? Let's go and tell the world about him. I was thinking about this idea of God's presence just being with us should bring us great peace and comfort. I remember when I decided to go to Russia in December to go visit my wife, Ferdows. My pastor sat me down and he's like, Derek, you don't speak Russian. You don't read Russian. You're traveling to Siberia, which is 4.5-hour flight from Moscow, northeast, all by yourself. He's like, are you sure you want to go? And I remember thinking, I'll be fine. You want to know why I'll be fine? Because Ferdows will be with me. She will be with me. She'll protect me. She'll take care of me, right? Wherever I went, I knew there was peaceful. We're going on these trains. We're stopping every hour at these random places. I could just disappear. No one would ever find out about me. There's no embassies. And yet Ferdows is there, and there was a great peace just having her presence there because I knew I'd be fine. But there was times where I took my eyes off of her and I started looking around and just, where am I? I can't read anything. I can't speak to anyone. And I started getting nervous and afraid. She'd go to the bathroom and I'd be like paranoid that she's not coming back and I'm stuck there. But Ferdows would just always say, calm down. I'm here. I'm here. You have nothing to worry about. And in the same way, when you leave these doors, Angelique, God loves you. He's here. He's near. He's inside of you. And he's saying, trust him. Live for him. Courageously pursue him. What is God calling you this morning to do that requires strength and courage? Church, think about that for a moment. God desires to be needed. He wants you to rely upon him. Today, sitting here this morning, what is he calling you to do that requires strength and courage? I was thinking of an old college pastor. He would always put a chair or a stool in front of us, and he would kind of step on the stool, and he would say, kind of like a trust fall, like God wants you to step out and jump back and trust him that he will take care of you. Get up there and jump. Be strong. Be courageous in his faithfulness and his courage. And think of Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, I'm going to part the Jordan, and I want you to walk through. I want you to get up on this stool and jump back and trust that the waters won't crash. And guess what? He did, and God caught him. But then it didn't end there. What does God usually do for all of us? Then he sets it a little bit higher. And he says, all right, get back up there. And just like the Israelites, I know in my heart, I'm like, no, I like the ground. I like comfort. I like peace. I like being in control. And God is saying, I have called you to a purpose and a mission, and it requires courage and strength. Get up there and jump into my arms, and I will keep you. Church, you will not be the first one he lets down. Whatever he's put on your heart, be obedient. Trust him. If he's given you a spiritual dream, walk by faith. Don't let fear stop you. Even if you tell it to people and they laugh at you, don't you think they didn't laugh at Joshua? We got 3 million people and we're gonna walk through the Jordan. You think people didn't laugh at that? Or we're gonna see when he gets to the other side and you got the walls of Jericho, the unconquerable city staring at your face, and Joshua says, we're gonna walk around that and the walls are gonna fall. You don't think people laughed at him then? But guess who gets the last laugh? God. Because he is faithful. May we be a church that lives courageously and strong, not because we have it together, because of his character and who he is. We have seen that courage rests upon the assurance of God. Let's look at the last point. Courage is anchored in the word. I love this. He made it very clear to Joshua, trust in my character and obey the word. His success is tied to obedience. Everyone wants this idea of God's blessing. How can I be successful? How can I have God's blessing upon my life? Here's the answer, church. Love the word. Meditate on the word. In humility, live according to the book. Fight to live according to the book. And the hand of God should be upon your life. And we know, here's the good news this morning. We can't live according to this book. But there was one who did perfectly. And his name is Jesus Christ. And his righteousness is yours because he lived this perfectly. And what he's saying is now, church, learn it. Love it. Meditate on it. This is our guide for life. We believe that the word of God is infallible. We believe that the word of God is reliable. We believe the word of God is inspired, preserved over time by the Holy Spirit, active in our salvation, spiritually discerned, equips us for service. It gives us purpose. May we have a thirst and desire for this like never before. May we know this book inside and out, where if someone outside these doors said, there's another way to have eternal life, we know, show me chapter and verse. I've never read it. Where is it? May we be a church and discipleship and built up in the word that we can defend it and know it. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. 1 Timothy, until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, towards exhortation and teaching. We are empowered. You want to be blessed? Love this. Read this. Church, it's so simple, and yet in my own life, it's so hard. It's like all we have to do is get up in the morning, go to bed at night, meditating on this, knowing this. And yet for many of us, life is too busy. Kids get in the way. Other things get in the way. And then we wonder why we don't feel strong and courageous, because that strength is found in him and through his word. And outside these doors, it's sad because the word of God is being attacked. It's boring. It's boring, they say. It's not alive. It's not accurate. Absolutely not. We believe this is the very breath of God. Inspired. These are his words. And he desires for us to foster a relationship with him through this. To be disciplined. I mean, God wants your time. He wants your heart. How do you give him your life? By praying and listening to him. I was thinking about, imagine all of us have this pit bull inside of us. Right? It's strong, it's powerful. But yeah, what would happen if you don't feed it? Let's say a day goes by and you don't feed the pit bull inside of you. Let's say a week goes by and you don't feed him. A month goes by and you don't feed him. 3 months go by, you don't feed him. It's not going to be pretty powerful or strong. In the same way, we are called to feed the Spirit inside of us. How do we feed the Spirit? Through his word. He says to Joshua, he says to us, meditate it. Be careful to do all that is in it. Know it. Preach it. Proclaim it. All scripture is God-breathed by God. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How are we doing at treasuring God's word? How are we doing at reading it regularly, meditating on it, memorizing it, reciting it throughout the day, putting it into practice? Is it something we know we should do but rarely get around to it? Or, church, is it the most important time of our day? It's time with our Father. My prayer for all of us, some of you have grown up in church, you've taken 30 Bible studies, you know every book of the Bible. And my prayer and God's prayer for us is that we would never get bored with it. The more I learn about God, the more questions I have. And I'm praying for a thirst and a hunger for God's word that we've never experienced. May we love his word and him today more than ever. And may we know it more than ever. Well, Pastor Derek, it's hard. I struggle. I hear you. So do I. But what changes can we make in our lives so that we treasure God's word? Because we will never be strong or courageous unless we're abiding and being empowered through it. Maybe it's talking to your spouse and just having some accountability and saying, hey, every week, let's just talk. Let's hold each other accountable for our Bible time. Let's just share what we've learned this week or this day in the Word of God. Maybe you surround yourself with people who love you that hold you accountable for that. I want to encourage you this summer. We have a discipleship track. It's 16 weeks. Brother Rich and I will push you to learn the Word. It's intense, but it's awesome. I encourage you Monday night, 6:30 to 8, come and allow this summer for you to grow in your love for God and understanding of God's word. In your Applewood Today this morning, there's another calendar for Abide. As a church, we challenge all of us, let's abide in the word together, amen? And we're gonna read through the book of Proverbs, one a day for the whole month of May. And you're gonna hear about it when we gather Sunday mornings. But maybe that will help encourage you. God desires for us to be strong and courageous. God desires for that strength and courage to come not only from his character and his presence, but also with close fellowship and our relationship with him through his word. Church, may we be strong and courageous because God is faithful.